Good morning.
Good morning. How is one?
I'm all right, thanks, love. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks.
Good. Funny to see you here.
Yeah, really, isn't it? A bunch of weirdos here recording a podcast about weight loss. And yeah.
Sorry, a bunch of weirdos. Weirdo singular.
Anyway, coming up, your biggest hurdles when it comes to losing weight and busting some fears about reaching target. What can you expect when you reach that mythical, mysterious finish line?
That is target. Is that what you wanted me to say? Wiggled her fingers at me. Guys, be prepared.
There's another sentence. I was going to give it to you to read.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know. Hold on. Oh, here we go. Plus more celebrations and light bulb moments. It may have been Christmas and New Year, but many of you guys have been busy learning and achieving.
Our normal service will resume straight after the
ukuleles.
Yeah, this is a professional podcast here. Welcome to the Zone Rule podcast. I am Claire. She is
Anna. I felt then that you should have been in a train station saying the 10:15 to Bristol has been delayed because there are leaves on the line.
Clearly, we're in a very silly mood.
Do you know what? I can't even blame it on anything other than just seeing your spirit has lifted me. That I'm not seeing your spirit, but being, oh God, should we get started? Because I feel like it may only be like, you know, January, but these people are thinking, God, when's this going
to
be over?
The thing is, right, people will be listening to this podcast thinking, hey, I'm a Swimming World member, or I'm losing weight, and this seems to be a podcast about, you know, weight loss and stuff, and this is a very serious matter.
Very.
I'm taking my weight loss very seriously. How dare you start this podcast with jokes?
Jokes. Well, you need to get used to us too, because I think the only way we've survived 5,000 years of slimming, losing almost 20 stone between us on and off, is that we laugh a lot, don't we? Take the mick out of ourselves. Well, she takes the mick out of me a lot. It's all about the laughter.
So welcome. Every Monday we put out a new episode, and this is one that we do monthly, listeners' questions, where you get to kind of tell us what's happening your way. You can email us, slimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com. You can Instagram us, DM us, @slimmingworldpodcast.
Please do. We love it. We love your messages.
The one thing we do have to say is we can't always respond to your messages. That's the only thing. But we get lots of different ones. And we try in every month for listeners' questions, do things that are a little bit different. So if we don't come back to yours, it might be that it's because we've just recorded an episode all about that subject, or it was the same question that came up last month. So it's never personal, but hopefully as you get to kind of listen to some of these new episodes and even some of our back catalogue, you'll find the answers to some of the things that you're thinking about in one way or another. So then we should probably say, what else? Oh, yeah, we're sponsored by Slimming World, which seems a bit bonkers. This has only been going on for about a year. So if you go back to the start of our series, you'll find the first 60 episodes, we were actually a bit rogue. We were called Slimming World Food for Thought Podcast, and we were kind of doing it on our own. And then episode 61 onwards, we became officially sponsored by Slimming World. And although we run as a separate entity, we do also need to say these are our personal experiences. So do check with a healthcare professional, your consultant, or someone far more sensible than us.
Don't know what you're talking about. I'm 40 years old. I'm a mother, a business owner. Don't come more sensible than me. Please, guys, go and seek some professional advice if you need it.
So then let's have a look. There's so many different things that are coming up here. There seems to be a few themes as well. Particularly, I thought, wow, here's another one about getting to target. That's coming up.
Yeah, there were loads this month about that, wasn't there?
Yeah, and I thought, wow, I wasn't really expecting that to kind of land in the inbox like December, January. I thought people might be talking more, oh, it's winter, how do I stay motivated when it's so dark and cold? But I didn't really see anything like that.
I think, though, on the back of what 2020 was, I think we've had a lot more time to acclimatise to not doing very much, being confined to home. So it wasn't as big a shock winter, was it? Because we'd been in lockdown. But
Yeah. So, but there were lots of celebrations.
Celebrations are many, are plenty, are many. Oh, God. Lots. Should we get started? Claire's got this bag in her hand and she keeps swinging it. It's beautiful to watch, but you can't see it. Claire likes to see it.
I always play with things when we're recording, don't we?
Yeah, but only when we're in your studio, not when we're out and about. There's no playing with nothing. Nothing, anything. But you've been swinging this
rude.
Bag. Yeah.
Sounds rude.
Should we get started on our celebrations?
Elaine made a super scary decision.
Did she?
Sounds like a joke, doesn't it? When you say, did she? What did Elaine Sorry, Elaine. She made a super scary decision. She gave away all of her big clothes.
Well done.
So she's no longer got her full back wardrobe that she's fallen back on so many times.
That's a scary thing to do. I like John and his wife, Debbie. They've been they've been going for nearly 3 years.
They joined Slam and Will. It's all right.
Okay.
All right, Mrs. Grammar.
Together there was 9.5 stone. He's at Target and listens to us on his lunchtime walks around London and thanks his consultant, Lindsay, at Longfield in Kent. Also says that thanks to all the consultants for keeping us members focused, positive and on track during the pandemic, particularly as they have gone through an extreme amount of pressure and stress too. Oh, John, thanks so much for saying that. That means an awful lot.
Yeah, if you didn't know, Anna is a consultant.
Allegedly.
Biased. Right, the thing that we also posted on our Instagram, and it was a question I think that came up in November, was from Sarah, who was talking about, please help, I don't really like vegetables.
This happens a lot.
Yeah, so how can I get around this? And we kind of answered her question. But what was really interesting is that other people started responding, saying, ah, yeah, I know people like that too. So like yes. JK says, her friend lost 7 stone, doesn't eat veg at all. Michelle says, as a melon and carrot only girl, loved this. Cara was like Sarah, but worked with it, found veg that she liked, made it work, has lost 4 stone and says, where there's a will, there's a way.
I love that.
So actually proof that you can do the plan.
Yes, and still lose weight. It just might be a little bit slower. Mm. Mrs. Carter says, I hit the 1 stone award. Thanks to the podcast for helping me get my mojo back and finding my why again. I'm not a direct slimmer. I definitely take the scenic route, but somehow it feels that I'm much more of an accomplishment that way. Yeah, I get that bit, don't you, Claire? Like, it's not fast, but it's going to happen eventually. I'm now it's for my interim target.
That's what she's heading towards.
Yeah, love that.
A couple of hellos as well to new consultants who've said hello to us as well. Because we actually know that a lot of our listeners are a mixture of members and consultants, which is great because I guess they hear you, Anna, and think that you kind of help just reassure them as consultants that actually it's kind of all right what you're worrying about, the pressure that you put on yourselves.
We feel it.
And so Sandra in South Lanarkshire, she says, if you believe, your members believe too. 10 months into being a new consultant, and she sent us an amazing photo of cheesy Hasselbacks.
Oh, you can't go wrong with a cheesy Hasselback. And lovely Jackie from Slimming World Barnsley, she became a consultant and went into lockdown. The podcast has inspired her and kept her enthusiasm up. Almost bought a Christmas cake when she went out shopping, but heard me in her head and only bought 2 meringue nests. Go, Jackie.
It's not Love a good that. Thing if you're hearing Anna in your head.
No, it's really not. There's medication that I you hear can get you. For that.
I hear you in my head sometimes.
Can you imagine being my husband or my kid? Things.
Yeah. Wow. Light bulb moments. Janine, she sent us more potato info. If you are a potato lover, I have to say we have done many episodes, but the one that really warmed my heart and also the response that followed
was incredible.
Particularly on Instagram, I asked over a course of a weekend for people to send their pictures of their potatoes that they were cooking that weekend. I counted 175 messages about potatoes.
We like a potato.
My phone, I had to delete videos off it to make room for all these photos of potatoes. And so, yeah, we did a whole episode about potatoes, what you can do with it, 10 different ways. And I'd gone out and found all these facts, and Janine sent me more facts, okay? She sent me a couple more museums to check out, the Canadian Potato Museum and also the potatomuseum.com, of which I looked on this, Anna, and I found some interesting jokes, okay?
Oh, Lord, help me.
Are you ready for this?
Go on.
Guys, you can claim credit. Use this on your other half later.
Or maybe not.
What do you call a potato that's reluctant to jump into boiling water, Anna?
I don't know.
A hesitator. Why do potatoes make good detectives?
No idea, Claire. Why do potatoes make good detectives?
Because they keep their eyes peeled. What do you call a potato at a football game?
I don't know, Claire.
Come on, even Matt got this one.
A spectator.
Thank you very much.
She's free for weddings, bar mitzvahs, funerals, leaving dues, everything via Zoom.
Anyway, Janine, it made me laugh.
Thanks,
and then
Janine.
I will always look at potatoes with eyes.
Yeah, I now look at potatoes in the supermarket and think, oh, I need a mash. What am I going to get? You know, I like a fluffy. Where am I going to go here?
Well, the one thing I'd take away from that is a Maris Piper and a King Edward will do everything that you need.
Everything.
She just looked at me. I thought you were going to say more. You said it very definitely. I thought you were going to continue.
Everything. Yeah. Well, Louise has a little tip for us about veg in season. So she sent us a link to a website which shares which produce is in season in which month. So in January, there is apple, beetroot, cabbage, cauliflower, celery, chicory, leeks, onions, parsnips, pear, rhubarb, spring onions, squash, swede, and turnip.
Wow.
Thank you for that, Louise.
That's actually quite a lot.
Yeah, and you know what? If you eat in season, it's cheaper and it's better for the earth. Not the earth, but the earth, the world. Like, for climate change.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You're going a bit hippie on us there.
No, I am.
You go vegan?
No.
Okay.
No. No, but I've been learning a lot. I'm trying to teach Daisy about looking after the world and been learning about.
Oh, just send her over here. Me and Matt will sort her out.
Oh, I just feel her full of processed stuff and plastic.
Nana Jan purchased this thing called a 6-minute diary.
Ooh.
So I guess it's one of those things every morning you do for 6 minutes, you write
Love
in it.
That.
And it's a cross between mindfulness and positivity type journal. Last week, her affirmation was to just have one fizzy drink each day. And then this week was to stick to 15 sins per day. So it's not rocket science, but just writing things down really keeps them at the forefront of her brain.
Love that.
And helps her to remember them. And 6 minutes a day is not that bad, is it?
Well, you think how long you spend like in a queue for a well-known coffee shop or sat on the toilet or, you know, waiting for the kettle to boil. Got 6 minutes.
Yeah, one of the things when I got a Kindle, because I really struggled to get into reading, I wanted to make reading a habit. What Kindles do is they tell you how long it will take to read this book.
Does it?
Yeah, with your reading speed or how long is left.
How does it know your reading speed?
Because you turn the page. Yeah, how quickly you turn it. But then I kind of thought, well, it only takes me like, 3 hours to read all of this book. That is basically, 4 episodes of a Netflix series. Which
do,
I was.
Do you mean this is Love Island, young lady? That's what she means.
Mindlessly kind of playing the next one.
Yeah.
Not really paying attention. I was like, well, actually, if I just put that on pause and did this, time is like a question of priority,
I like
isn't
that.
It?
Mm. Yeah. Well, Crystal, how amazing is this? She moved to South Korea in February without a group. It's been really tough for her to keep her weight loss journey on track, she said. She was out walking when she popped on the first 2 episodes, Claire's story and Anna's story. And she says, I actually stopped walking and burst into tears because it was the first time I didn't feel alone with regards to my weight and how I feel about myself. That moment was such a turning point for me. Thank you. Oh, Crystal.
Oh.
Oh, bless you. One of my uni friends moved to South Korea. It's such a change in culture. And then to be away from group, you're doing an incredible job just even trying, my darling.
Yeah, well and done. I imagine the food is very different. So
very different.
Perhaps not always the usual free foods.
Yeah.
Okay, catchphrase of the month seems to be coming like a bit of a thing.
I like
for
this. We need some music. We found out your buttons did all sorts of things the other day.
Yeah, they don't work on this recording, though, I don't think. I mean, I could try.
Can we press one?
Should we press one? Okay, then.
Does it work?
I mean, I don't know.
She's like waving at me like, stop.
Yeah, people, that's where that ends. Anna's like a 2-year-old with a Fisher-Price machine.
Guys, if you could see it, it's all lit up. She never lets me touch the desk.
Anyway, what she doesn't know is that there was a trombone and I can play it at any point she says something stupid. And clearly it does work on the recording. Kaylee says, catchphrase of the month.
Okay.
Actually, I'll tell you what the catchphrase is after I've given the explanation.
Okay, you do it.
Kaylee, like, so listen, when she runs, she's now able to run 5K. Yes. Was laughing about our last listener's question episode where the sister was very peeved about her sister's ability to seemingly lose weight much easier than her. Kaylee said she found this particular quote that I'm about to share with you and used it for her running training. And it means that she doesn't worry when people zip past her when she gets overtaken. Instead, she's just all about focusing on her journey and to be proud about what she is achieving. But she said perhaps it also works for weight loss too. Now, when Susan, could also be named someone else, in group loses 5 pounds after having a Chinese and ice cream, and she's only lost 0.5 pounds. She won't bother comparing herself to Susan because that just robs her of her joy. She hopes this helps others too. And the phrase is...
Comparison is the thief of joy.
Yes.
It is. Do you know what? I love that. I think that's such a... Oh. So impactful.
Comparison is the thief of joy. We need to say it like with deep, meaningful, serious faces. Go on, try.
Do you want me to?
Yeah. Get in the voiceover mode.
Comparison is a thief of joy.
It's like she just did a chocolate advert on telly.
I just closed my eyes then as well. I got in.
She went into it.
I did. Well, I think it's really worth mentioning, isn't it, about Dry January, Claire, because the last 2 new years we've done episodes about going alcohol free. If you need a little bit of support to go and listen to them, they are episode 4. What is it called? Friend or foe, wasn't it?
Alcohol-free friend or foe, yeah.
And episode 58, alcohol alternatives. When I felt a little bit drunk, but we had no booze. I remember that episode.
It was like in the morning in my kitchen and we're having fake gin and tonics.
And Anna gets drunk.
So then it's kind of a bit of a trend, isn't it, really? January, dry January, veganuary. I mean, goodness knows
what
else
there is. Sounds painful that long.
It does, doesn't it? And get cream for that. Which, as someone who is vegan and alcohol-free, as long-term, you know, these are things that I tried for a month and then now have become a part of my life. I think what we've tried to do in those episodes has been just to kind of give you our kind of wider perspective on it, really. Like, actually think about why you're doing it. A lot of people say, I'm not drinking, thinking that will help them lose the weight. But actually, it's more about the habits, because then you kind of fill the when you were drinking with something else.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just knowing what to catch out for so that you really maximize. If you're taking a break from alcohol, just don't get kind of caught out by some of the common things that people fall over.
Yeah. I can't imagine drinking now. It doesn't even enter my head. It's weird.
Yeah.
I bought wine around Christmas for people and I was like, what it tastes like. Like, I've forgotten.
The difference, right? So Matt actually got given by his employer a free box of chocolates and a free bottle of wine.
Chocolate's not vegan.
No. So we gave them away.
Did you?
And old Claire
did you mourn?
No, I didn't.
Oh, I
didn't
that.
For the first time. I didn't. And but it was very weird. And going into like co-working offices this year has been really weird. Around Christmas time, there was loads of biscuits and cakes. And I kind of just looked at them and just thought, no, I'm a vegan. It's not an option. I'm losing weight at the moment. I'm on it. I'm just going to walk past these. And my God, I was never that clear.
Who are you?
But in a way, being vegan takes that choice away from me. So
maybe this is what I need to do. Yeah.
Body magic. A lot of people that might be heading back to the gym. Perhaps December, you were like, forget it. I'm just getting back on it in January.
Mm.
So number one advice, do your inches.
Yes. Measure your knees and your knuckles.
And your wrists.
Yeah. Measure those little crevices you don't think matter. Like, you know the bit between your armpit and your boob?
Yeah.
Is that your shoulder? Well, no, this
bit. It's like where your lymph nodes are.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah. Called, then that, well, you just squidged your bicep. I mean.
No, I meant here.
Oh.
Here.
It's more like armpit.
Yeah. Measure that, because that shrunk on me. And it's quite a nice feeling when you think I've not lost weight.
Well, you know when you kind of have sleeveless dresses, that it kind of is a bit tight, isn't it?
Yeah. Or you get an extra level of boobage.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'm sure men have. Well, my hubby has fat in the same place, so I'm sure the rest of the men do. But you know when you get on the scales, it doesn't go your way, but you've measured your knuckles, your knees and your armpit and you've lost an inch. Nothing more motivating, Claire. Nothing more motivating.
And the other thing as well, like, log it on your Body Magic Awards. Like, it's on the app, or you can ask your consultant, like, what do you need to do for bronze, silver, gold?
Yeah.
Because the thing is, If you do those two things, rather than trying to just do the exercise to lose weight and then the weight not coming off as quickly as you think and you're getting, frankly, a bit peeved off, then it will actually just keep you focused when you want to quit 2 weeks in.
Exactly.
Like doing a Body Magic Award means that you're going to do it for at least 4 weeks, possibly eight if you sign up for gold.
And you get a shiny sticker and a certificate.
Mm.
What more could you want from life, Claire?
And I've got to say to you, if you're only kind of just catching up with this, in the last year, I didn't really move forwards that much in my weight loss, but I did lose inches because I was doing the gym. And that's with all the COVID stuff. So I went down a dress size, I'm wearing the smallest size clothes possible. Whilst my weight on the scales is about the same because I'm changing my body composition, it's definitely worth doing it. Otherwise, if the only number I had was the scale weight, I would beat myself up and failed.
Yeah.
And that's not true.
No, you've never failed.
Questions. Okay, so question I posed, and I think we mentioned this on the podcast last week when we were wherever we were, sat outside in the Peak District somewhere.
Yeah, thanks so much for that.
Yeah. How was the cake? Was it all right?
Well, I'm still alive. No, it was lovely, thank you.
Take a cake and I'll put it in your face next time.
I'm really going to try some egg replacer because I was surprised.
Sin-free.
It was dense.
No egg replacer. Sin-free.
What is it?
White powdery stuff, frankly. I don't really understand.
That's another episode. Moving on.
Right, what's your biggest hurdle when it comes to losing weight? If you were to write that down right now, and whatever comes to your mind, like I'm sure straight away, as I'm rambling this, 2-3 things straight away come, like things that just catch you. Mine, being bored and tired.
Yeah, mine is like, do you know what my biggest hurdle is going? It's all right. Start again tomorrow. It's all right. It won't matter.
Yeah.
No, Anna.
Oh, go on. Just have one.
Yeah.
You're not going to die if you have one.
Yeah. Or lack of preparation. Like, get the food in, but don't prep it. Daisy doesn't go to sleep. So I come to the kitchen at like 9:10. I'm like, give me toast.
Yeah. Well, that was a question that we posted on our Instagram at Slimmer World Podcast. Oh my goodness, there were lots of answers. Most of them seem to simply say, me.
Yeah.
I am my biggest hurdle when it comes to losing weight. Let me just run through a few of these. Louise, she says, being tired and having to deal with a screaming feral toddler and an emotional 5-year-old, must resist the chocolate.
I thought I'd written that, except I don't have a 5-year-old, but yes, I'm with you. Mandy, oh, we need to help Mandy with this. I miss tasty food. My food seems bland lately. I'm just stuck.
Yeah, Mandy seemed to be someone who's been doing Slimming World for quite a while. But just as kind of, it's where you start when the weight loss doesn't come so quickly and then you start penalising yourself more. I totally got to this.
You had,
really,
yeah.
Learning to use spices, getting into the recipe books and like, just looking more like for the type of recipes that excite you that you can work towards. Because I have to say, actually, I've gone back to doing 7-day plans of meals and I genuinely look forward to the evening and I find I don't need to kind of have all these snacks because I'm eating enough in the day.
Yeah, free food is your friend.
Oh, yeah.
It is. But if you see a kitchen wall with their plan, you'd be dead envious.
See, Belle, boredom. I find I'm bang on plan all day. Then at night, I get those, I want something cheeky to eat vibes. Totally. Yeah. Andrea, the diva comes out in the evening. How do I keep her locked up?
Beat her up. No, I'm joking. Sharon says, work is very stressful. I know I could batch cook at the weekend, but I am so emotionally drained. Totally get that.
Yeah. Ruth, I'm the only cook in my house. Some days I just want someone else to cook for me.
Yeah, I get that. Sandra says, school holidays as I'm out of routine. Once the treats start, I just can't seem to stop them.
Kate, socialising. I just can't stay strong.
Oh, and Emma says, this thing keeps happening. I think normal people call it a weekend. I call it having a couple of days off and then the alcohol cooler. I think most people call it a fridge.
Like that. And then Karen, when I read this, I was like, wow, other people do this too?
Yep.
Constantly comparing myself to every member in the magazine. Yep. I'm checking their height. I'm checking their weight. Are they anywhere kind of near to me? And then I feel crap as I'm nowhere near where they are. I mean, this comes back to comparison is the thief of joy, isn't it? But when I heard someone, it is instantly, I don't even read the story half time. I will just go, right, they're the same height. Started about the same weight. Now they're that. Oh, they're like at least 2 stone heavy lower than me. And they live near me.
Well,
she's got a similar job to me.
She breathes.
I couldn't fit in one of those dresses.
Well, this is very...
We put these people on pedestals.
We do. But listen to this. I was talking to some members just before Christmas on a Zoom, and I said to them, this is how much I weigh. And no one had said anything about me and wanting to look like me or anything before I told them how much I weighed. And I said, how does that make you feel? And two of them said that number made them jealous. So they didn't look at me before. They weren't jealous of me before, but that number equated to something that made them feel jealousy and envy. Isn't that interesting how that number that we see next to that person, you compare yourself to?
Mm.
But actually, if you'd just seen Emma in a magazine and you'd not seen any of her stats, you may have gone, oh, Emma looks pretty. That's nice. Oh, nice dress. Move on. But because you can see what her stats are that maybe mean to you or kind of emulate success, that's when you go, oh, hello.
Mm.
Oh, Claire's looking very perplexed.
No, it's just deep,
isn't it? Deep.
Yeah, and it's funny because that kind of comparisonitis, it catches you out.
Mm.
Like, you could be stood waiting for a bus and then suddenly an advert on, you know, a bus on the opposite side of the road passes. And it's like a picture of a perfect family for like a vitamin advert. And you're like, oh, look at her skin. She looks so healthy. And that dress, she looks lovely. I bet she hasn't got to worry about what her inches are in her armpits. I bet he doesn't have to worry about moobs. Like, do you know what I mean? And then you just sit there and then you're like, oh, okay, whatever. And then you go, you know, you get on the bus and then you scroll in through Facebook and an advert comes up of a friend that you used to know that you used to work with and she's just got married and she looks absolutely beautiful. And then you kind of go on Instagram and then you see a picture of another friend who you used to go to school with and she just had a baby and she's hardly got any baby weight on her at all. And then you open the magazine and then you start, yeah. I mean, like...
But then the reality of life is they're probably at home like me with a paralysed dog that poos on them, another dog that hukes on them, and then you've got a crying three-year-old that's just had surgery and you haven't brushed your teeth in 3 days and you've been in a dressing gown that's not been in the washing machine for 5 weeks. I mean, that's probably the reality. Comparison is the thief of joy.
Yeah.
Okay,
so this next question, well, it kind of came from three people. We've kind of brought you all together really under one umbrella, which I hope you don't mind, but there seems to be a bit of a theme here of Louise, Michelle, Hannah all kind of talk about how to keep motivation and your momentum going. It's about kind of getting a consistent streak down. I think this is topical as well because a lot of people will be kind of like, yes, it's January, I'm on it, I'm going. And then what happens in February? Like, maybe you get your first gain or, yeah.
Well, just the reality of slimming sets in, doesn't it?
I think it's not as exciting.
Yeah, after Christmas, we're so desperate to stop the rot. It's new, it's exciting, it's fresh, it's all our hopes. Then reality sets in, doesn't it?
See, I think you can do anything for 30 days.
Yeah.
It's keeping going.
The key to keeping going for me has been to not, A, overthink it, B, kind of waiting for it to be over, because the truth is with weight loss and weight maintenance, if you're going to do this and you're going to keep your weight off, this is it.
Mm.
Do you know? And also making it fun. Don't make this a punishment. No one said join Slimming World, feel sad. We said, come join Slimming World, food optimise, eat loads of great food, feel full, feel healthy, make a new lifestyle change, get fit. I think when you think about it like that, it just takes the pressure off.
Yeah. See, Louise talks about having months of losses or maintains, then stalls and goes back to square one, fed up with it, don't want to give up. Michelle just simply says, lost my way. And then Hannah says, what pearls of wisdom to keep motivated when you realise how far you've still got to go? I get really impatient. I want to be at the end.
Yeah.
Now.
I think the thing that I always think about when you think how far you've got to go, it will be even farther if you don't keep going. So I've had, and you've had it, Claire, where we give up when it gets tough and we come back with even more weight to lose because we gave up when it got tough.
You know, I think it's easy to say this, like, when you're coming from the other side. So please forgive me for sound like this is what's going to happen to you because it's the most annoying thing. But that first year where I lost 4 stone, I averaged 1 pound a week.
Yeah.
Now, I think most people, if we're honest, are probably, they'd get a bit disappointed when they only lose 1/2 pound or 1 pound a week.
Yeah.
We expect to lose 3 or 4 pounds every
week. We want it every week, don't we?
But the reality was, by losing on average 1 pound a week, which is much more sustainable than long term, I got 4 of my 6 stone off. In a
That's
year,
bad, isn't it?
And I kept it off. That's more important. So it's like I would never have been the person that would have been okay with that. And probably I'm still not, if I'm honest. But when I look at the evidence, I think it does kind of make sense.
But we have to think, why do we feel like that? And the reason we feel desperate for it to end is because we don't like where we're at right now. And what you've got to remember is, as you keep chipping away at the weight loss, that pain and that feeling will dissipate, because with every half stone you lose, you'll get more energy, your clothes will feel better, you'll feel better about the way you look. So it's remembering, when you're in a negative state of mind, the only thing you'll generate is a negative mindset. So if you are feeling low with your weight loss journey, this is why remembering your why, looking at the positives, is really, really key, because otherwise that side of your brain that deals with the emotion and the self-sabotage will shout so loud that you think, well, what's the point? I've got 7 stone to go. I'm going to be here in 2 years' time. Whereas that part of the brain that's going, but hang on, you've got 7 stone to go and you've lost 2 of it. Do you know what I mean? Let's keep going. We need that to shout louder.
Yeah. The thing about fearing target.
Yeah, that's been very popular, hasn't it?
Yeah. So I'll just like kind of whiz through this fear around target and maintaining as well, which really surprised me. Sophie says she's 4.5 pounds off her target. What tips can we give to get her over the finish line? And also anxious about how the plan changes. Stephen has just got to target. What one tip can you give to stay in target? Been here before and had an epic fail. Also, Stephen's a consultant, so feels more pressure.
Yeah.
And then Ange in North Wales quite simply just says, I just don't believe I can stay at target despite some real soul-searching mantras, positivity. I've got a long way to go yet, but I've come to understand that the realisation of never remaining at target for long in the past is holding me back. What are your best tips that I can employ to know that this is a lifestyle change and not just yet another weight loss journey to eventually put 5 stone back on again?
Yeah. First of all, I just want to address the lovely Sophie, who's got 4.5 pounds to target. My first recommendation would be strip it back. Get back to basics.
Get naked?
Well, I did think as I said that. I mean, that could help, you know. My bra is so padded, it weighs 2.5 pounds. I am joking. Get back to basics. Get weighing and measuring those healthy extras. Check every sin. Make sure that speed freeze really there in 1/3. Hit that protein. Are you looking at your symbols and stacking them? Because actually, you could nail that off in a week. You really, really could. Also, look at your body magic. Has that come into play? Because if you haven't integrated some body magic as your weight loss has come down, that maybe needed to be added in to give your weight loss a nice little kick. Just though, to reassure you, the plan doesn't change. The plan is exactly the same. We just give you a little bit of more flexibility with savvy sins and some extra healthy extras. So the crux of it, the free food, we're not taking that away from you. So please be reassured. There's just 3 different routes that you'll find in your Sin for Life book, which is no big secret, but it doesn't change. I think the thing I would say about the pressure of being a consultant and being at target and having been there and not stayed there is looking at this at a different viewpoint. You know what? You learned before what you don't want to do. And this is about really committing to be at target. So I think anybody that's new to target, like Stephen, your Slim for Life 12-week plan is your best friend, because that is going to guide you through the trials and tribulations of the first 12 weeks of being at target and everything that kind of entails and how you may be likely to have a wobble. But also keeping those communication lines open with your consultant, still getting to group, still weighing in, still being part of group, because what I see from my target members is they need group sometimes more than a member losing weight, because they are learning to adapt to their new lifestyle. To lovely Ange though, I think what's really important to know is that this isn't some mythical place where, you know, we stop supporting you, you don't get that motivation and that inspiration. And I think it's really recognizing in your journey, Ange, that are you making long-term small changes that you can keep to, or are you on a diet? Because the people I meet, sadly, who get to target and come out of it, or like Claire and I, lost weight, put it back on, is because the changes are not, you know, something you can stick to. So are you being too restrictive? Like Claire, you know, when you used to be like, I can only eat speed free food, then you know I can't have like the free fruits and the free veg, you know, that was a restriction, wasn't it? So are you doing that to yourself? So really, really thinking about, how is this journey training me for target?
Yeah, it's what kind of follows on from this as well, like maintaining as well. Mm. Helen talks about best tips for maintaining. How do I stop obsessing about food? I'm 6 stone down. I'm at Target. Although I've changed and adapted habits, I'm so scared that they're not solid. I'm scared that I might fall off the wagon. Am I ever going to be content about my food? And Vilma in Thetford says, I've lost 4 stone. I'm at Target as of September 2020. Question is how to maintain my weight successfully without overeating on food that is high on sins. What is the magic formula of maintaining it long term? It scares me. Again, this word scare. Mm. It scares me I will lose control and end up back at square one if I allow myself more food that's high in sins. I really feel these because I think...
Yeah, this is you, isn't it, Claire? Yeah, it really is. So I think a really important thing to recognise, or I know a really important thing to recognise, is how we transfer feelings of emotion into things like this. So actually, if you're obsessing about food and your target and staying there, that is more about your fear of failing than it is about the food. That is more about you accepting the new place that you've created and the fear of losing it. So I would suggest, and this is only a personal what I do for myself, is to really accept and really look at where you are now. Know that you're worthy of it, you're worthy celebrating it, but what you've got to have learned from your journey is that the high sin, high fat, high danger food is not going to keep you where you are. And almost looking at it that way, that actually, do you know what? If I want to stay at Target, there is no way I can start adding in copious amounts of sins. It's just not a place I can go to. The moment you recognize that, you go, actually, I'm in control of this. I am not going to come out of Target. I'm not going to put the weight back on because I know how to stop it. And the moment you realise it's in your hands, it really becomes quite powerful. But also know that our inner voice of negativity has a bloody big gob and it will shout at you, especially when it's scared. It will say, I'm not going to stay here. This isn't going to happen for you. You know, what's the magic formula? Do you know what, Vilma? I wish there was a magic formula. But I would say in my experience and having maintained the same weight apart from pregnancy for the last 5 and a bit years, is to say, actually, I'm taking it one step at a time. I've had massive wobbles. I've had, you know, massive achievements in that time. But to know that every day is a new day and actually, you know, just to take a deep breath sometimes.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's bloody annoying.
Yeah,
when
it sucks.
You watch other people who are just naturally seem to be skinny and they can eat everything they want, and then we have to sit here and be good for the rest of our lives.
No, but it's the choice. I'm choosing to stay in this life I've created.
Claire's looking at me like, oh no, I want to headbutt you right now.
No, but think about it in a different way. No, but so right, you wouldn't expect to stay fit if you stop going to the gym. Right? You wouldn't expect to be able to lift weights if you didn't carry on lifting weights. You wouldn't expect to have learnt to drive a car if you didn't have driving lessons.
Yep.
Right? So why is food, eating and weight loss so different? Because we're angry that we're here in the first place. It sucks that we can't eat chocolate, crisps, nuts, bread, cake and be thin. But it's the acceptance of the fact that it sucks.
Mm.
Comparison is the thief of joy. Same thing. Sod Lindu, who can eat biscuits and is skinny. Do you know what I mean? You fought blinking hard. But that helps.
Yeah, there's some other episodes about this.
Yeah.
If you wish to learn more about this. So like episode 21 is called How to Stay the Same and Maintain. And there's also episode 72, which is Target Weight Myth Busting. So if you're kind of curious about this Slim for Life thing, the three options that are covered, we talk about that. Anna goes through that book, and actually you can read it anytime. If you're a Slimmer World member, you go on your members login website bit, and you can actually read the book
in the Target zone.
And I'm not at Target, you know, enough.
It's not a secret.
It's not a secret. And you can even, you know, ask your consultant if you can just, you know, maybe have a look at it.
Pre-lockdown, when I was allowed to have an interest table, you know, the table in the middle of the room, I'd have copies on there. So yeah, ask your consultant if you could have a little read.
Yeah. How will it look? Like, what kind of more sins am I allowed? Savvy sins, what are they going to be? Yeah, it's just to know what you're heading towards rather than it just be like this kind of black hole that you're aiming towards.
So another thing to recognise when you're in the 8-week run-up to your target, start talking to your consultant about getting prepped for it with the Slim for Life book and how, you know, what life is going to look like in 8 weeks' time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so new relationship, says Cass. Oh, congrats.
Love.
How do I food optimise in the beginning of a new relationship?
This
I
one's
was
for you.
Single for 3 years. Ooh, easy.
Sorry, got a bit excited.
And she did. Single for 3 years and 2 months ago, she met a lovely man. All good, but one downside. Bad food choices, takeaways, chocolate and ciders. Look, we love our Friday night treats, especially when the kids are in bed. How can we make things seem special but healthy when we're together?
Well, Claire, I've been in with my husband 75 years, it feels like. So I'm probably not a good one to answer. What would your tips be? Because you recently fell in love.
Well, yeah, it's been over a year now.
Has it?
Yeah. I can't quite believe it. My goodness. So for about a period of 10 years, I was dating, had just relationships that didn't really seem to go past 6 months. Just, you know, they get started and then they'd be over. And also dating, it's expensive. It's expensive money, time and sin wise. You know, quite often I'd have to have a few wines just to like get the courage to turn up to the date. So there's like, what, 8 sins gone. So the whole process, Cass, I totally understand that. The new relationship thing, it's almost like setting out your stalls quite early on. So one of the things that I did differently with Matt, which I never did really with anybody else, was I was quite upfront with him about my journey and how important this was to me. Mm. And I said, if you're interested in being with me and being on my team, then this is something that I need your help with. What I don't need is this. And I was very specific. I said, I don't want to be going out for curries and takeaways because right now this is really important to me. I need your support. And he just went, how can we do that? And the thing that we actually kind of started doing together, and obviously it's been a weird year to be together, like we've not been able to go out much. We actually plan our food and we cook together.
So cute.
Well, because it became like a thing like that we could do early on. Like some of my fondest memories, like of maybe third, fourth date, we were just in my kitchen because it's the only room that actually looked reasonable because there's no furniture in the rest of the house. I had a cooker, I had a sink, I had a fridge. And we just would make meals from scratch together. And like, I didn't always know how to do everything. He didn't know, but we worked it out together. And it really kind of showed me like, how are we going to operate as a team?
Yeah, oh, I like
that. How do we kind of make decisions together? How do we learn together?
How was it part of your plan? Was it like an initiation test?
No, not
at all. It was, she's lying. She scored him.
It wasn't. It was just, it was nice. And actually, we still enjoy that today. Like, you know, tonight we're doing onion bhajis for a starter, the Slimming World ones. We're doing like the South Indian curry with a pita bread on the side.
Oh, nice.
And then we've got like some little kind of yogurty moussey things that are in with. They don't actually look that great. But,
well, yeah. Do you know what? They'll taste good.
I'll just put loads of maple syrup on these.
Don't judge what it looks like.
But you know, like we kind of, we make it that we kind of, we plan this out together and it becomes like exciting. So what could you be kind of planning and cooking together?
Yeah.
And then I think you're almost like kind of planting the seed to him that it's not like an either or, either you're on plan or you're not on plan. Actually, he might, like Matt is genuinely amazed. He's like, this Slimming World thing's actually all right, isn't it? Like you can eat really nice food and he's losing weight.
Oh, bless
him. It's about kind of making him be a part of it rather than like when I'm with him, I'm off plan. And then when I'm not with him, I'm on plan because you're living like two separate lives there. And also if it's going to work long term, you need him. But it's hard when you're new because you just want to, you just kind of get in that little bubble and you treat yourself and it's nice.
Yeah. But then I always think when I've watched members who get new relationships, sometimes all you need to say is, look, do you know what? You've only known me a couple of months. You don't know the person I was 5 stone ago. And actually, I really want to stay this person. So you know. And also planning it in. You can have a bottle of wine. You can have some treats, can't you?
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
got to make sure you've got, you know, a plan for it.
Yeah.
Oh, keep us posted. Can we come to the wedding?
So TV advert. Sam talks about this. Sam's been a Target member since August. And so she's pretty good at staying on plan, but buckles when she sees TV food ads that come on in the evening. Mm. So she says, why do we suddenly crave what we see when seconds before we were fine?
It's all part of the plan. I was telling Claire before, I did this as part of my dissertation at uni. I then went into working in advertising. Now, there was so much research done into fast food, sugar adverts. Well, very few adverts for high sugar products can be done now, because their intention is basically to hit the reward receptors in your brain. Mm. So you feel like you need it, you deserve a reward. There's also been a lot of research done into people that have struggled with their weight or are currently struggling with their weight. And there is some link that people who have a higher BMI or previously have had one are more susceptible to adverts for food than people who've never struggled with their weight.
But I mean, surely that'd be like someone who has quit smoking, when they see cigarettes, they're going to be triggered, whereas someone who hasn't smoked is not really going to be bothered seeing a packet of cigarettes.
Apparently it's different with food, because what happens in the brain when we eat things like sugar and fat, because I'm presuming this is a trigger not for like a tangerine. Well,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Is that it's the dopamine, isn't it, that it launches in the brain. So we've learned a response when it comes to that food. So someone who's overweight and struggled with it, their brain has learned that they like that response. So when they see it, it fires those same
things.
This
is what I was saying about the donut thing the other month, wasn't I?
And it's so true. So, I mean, I did my degree a long time ago, but when I saw the question, I did go and have a little research, and then in America, they've done so many studies on a very well-known fast food chain in adolescents especially, and how quickly they want to order fast food from seeing it. The average 15-year-old that is overweight will want to order food within about a quarter of a second of seeing the sign of that fast food restaurant.
Wow.
Mad, isn't it? So you are fighting against something that is happening in your brain that you don't even know is happening.
Yeah, well, it's like that thing called like the amygdala. Can't say it, can't
amygdala.
Spell it. Amygdala, that's it. Yeah, there's a book called The Chimp Paradox.
Oh, brilliant book.
Which breaks down all these different sides in your brain of what's kind of going on with like cravings, with your behaviour, how to put the pause in. Yeah, it's really cool.
And really worth getting to know yourself and understanding, because when you go, oh my God, that's actually not just happening to me. So yes, Sam, you're not alone.
But then I think also being curious about it, because over time, just observe how like those cravings come, but then they also pass. Like me going to the co-working space and seeing like all this free chocolate and cake and just looking at it and going,
okay,
all right. And then just walking by and making my coffee and then going back to my desk. Years ago, I probably would have really struggled and been like, oh, I could just have one. Yeah. I can smell them. Oh, I wonder how many I can get away with. They've all turned their heads. I could probably get away with at least three in my pocket.
Oh my God, it's so true.
Three in my mouth.
Or maybe if I just drop some on the floor so no one could eat them, and then I'll just pretend to take them to the bin, but I've eaten.
And that's it. And if I offer to make everyone around in like 10 minutes, hopefully that orange one will still be there. Yeah. But then this time, like, I was like, actually, I'm all right. Yeah. I've got my food. I brought my food. I'm prepped. I'm good with this. So it's observing at the cravings as they come, but also as they pass.
And also observing maybe what particular advert is it? Is it like a chocolate? Mm. Is it a cake? Is it a biscuit? And also remember the time of year, because you've written this in December when we prep the questions, is that maybe it's Christmas, isn't it, that you've seen all these type of adverts? Because they taught you, don't they? It's Christmas thing.
Okay, is too much fruit too good a thing, says Jules. Like, can you eat too many tangerines, easy peelers, satsumas, clementines? I mean, she's eating like a bag a day.
Okay.
She's been substituting these for crisps, wine and chocolate, which is, you know, good thinking. She's also gone 4 months without any alcohol too. Well done. But still dependent on this habit of snacking of an evening. And although she's converted the huge, like, you know, the sweets for the fruits, she's kind of like, is this actually still really a good idea? I mean, the reason for the snacking, she admits, is mostly boredom.
Yeah.
She's not really into crocheting or colouring in.
Yeah.
So she's switching to the old orange
fizz. We've all been there with an easy pizza. So, right, remember, Free food is free. It's unlimited. You don't need to weigh it. You don't need to measure it. You don't need to count it. However, what I would always say is what you're shouting out to me in this is about mindful eating. And you're not eating here to satisfy any type of hunger. And I think that's just something to be mindful of. If you are full and you're eating this because you are bored, then maybe that's a habit you want to change, because I can tell you're not feeling comfortable with that. But free food is safe. You are far safer eating a bag of tangerines than you ever would be a packet of crisps, a bar of chocolate, because you're not triggered by them. But what I would say from, if it was me as a slimmer, is actually maybe another habit needs to come into play here. Because do you need a bag of tangerines when you're sat on the sofa? Is it about going and watching a different film, reading a book, going to bed, calling your friends, and just see if you need them? But if you are hungry, free food is the thing to fill up on.
Yeah, I'd also kind of look at the boredom reason a little bit more. Yeah. Like, write down a list of things that bring you joy. Maybe, as you say, it could be like watching your favourite series in your like a brand new pair of pyjamas, fresh out the bath with a candle. Maybe it's calling up like one of your best friends that you haven't spoken to for ages and ages. Find the things that bring you joy, which I know is increasingly harder during these testing times. Mm. That is lockdown, and God knows whether you're locked down, whether you're locked in, whether you're allowed to roam the streets freely these days, who knows? But I think it's looking at that. And then imagine, like, if the way that you planned your food, you planned your evenings, you probably wouldn't have to rely on that.
Good. Yeah, that's a good point.
Sometimes, like, being bored is an interesting mask for other things.
100%.
Like, it's actually, it could be fear. It could be fear that there's something that you need to do, but you're not really doing it. So you're just passing time.
Yeah.
Or tiredness. Yeah.
I find, Anna, go to bed. If I'm sat on the sofa and I'm starting to pick, that's telling me I'm knackered. I need to go and have a hot bath and get into bed.
Yeah. Good luck, Jules. I mean, keep us posted on what are the things that you try not into crocheting or colouring in. I like that addition there.
Thank you.
Just to clarify, Jules, yeah. I like that. Okay, so then a couple of questions came in about being a consultant for you, Anna. Angela says, love to hear from Anna about the life of being a consultant. What do you do every week aside from group? Chloe says she's been asked whether she'd like to become a consultant, but wants to know if it's suitable when you have a job working 30 hours.
Oh, what do I do? You see, I think this is a really interesting, I get asked this a lot. All you do is come to group. Oh, do you know what? It is a little bit more than that. So for every single group you have, that's about a 15-hour workload. So I have three groups. So that is a full-time job in itself. So what I do in the week, or how I spend my time, is I'm prepping for groups. So I'm supporting my new members, you know, texting them, calling them, sending them a card in the post, checking them all right. I'm checking in that anyone that I'm worried about in the week, hello, I'm here, are you all right? You know, that could be a little card, that could be a voice note, that could be picking up the phone or a text. And there'll be lots of social media stuff that I'm doing to keep my members motivated or promoting my groups. And then there'll be something where I'm looking at every single member I've got and their weight loss and where their journey's going and getting prepped to talk to them in image therapy. Then there's all the admin side. Then there is prepping for group that week. They used to be getting the raffle prizes. And with our groups, we promote at like four key times in the year. So we'll be out pounding the streets, doing leaflets, all sorts of things. It is a brilliant job because you can do it from the comfort of your own home. But I would say if you've got a job that is 30 hours a week, it's knowing a single group would be an extra 15 hours. And at the beginning, when you become a consultant, and I'm really honest about this, it reminds me of having a newborn baby. Because you're learning a new skill, you're promoting, you're looking after your members. It is full on. For about the first 6 months, I didn't come up for air. It was totally enjoyable in a really different way, but it's a lot when you've got a 30-hour job, but I've got lots of colleagues that work full-time and do this. But yeah.
Did you have a job when you first started as a consultant?
No, then? I'd had my spinal injury. I'd been out of work for just over 2 years. And it's a really lovely story how I became a consultant. I got invited to the opportunity event where you go and hear about becoming a consultant from my lovely consultant. And I was on benefits. I was on sick benefit, and I remember finding out about how I got into it because it's a self-employed role. And I called my dad and I said, Dad, look, I don't have this money. This is what it would be. What do you think? And he said, I'm going to give you this money because I really believe you're worth a shot at it. So he bought me my first franchise and I got to pay him back within the first 6 weeks, which was absolutely incredible. But he said, look, it's something you can go and try. And I didn't get into it for the money. I got into it because I wanted to give something back. And I also couldn't work in the way I'd worked before. So I needed something really different. And now I sit with 3 groups, 6 sessions, 7 million sessions now. I've been a team developer. I do the podcast. So I've been through a lot of the roles at Slimming World. But it's definitely, if you wanted to find something more about it, because we're always looking for passionate food optimizers, talk to your consultant about the local opportunity events.
See, what I find really interesting about, like, because I've been groups, like, not just yours, but all over the country. Loads of different people.
She gets around.
Shut up. Yeah. Even before I met you or went to other groups. You know, and it's not just necessarily women who've got a toddler at home who are housewives can become a consultant. Actually, I've been to consultants where there's great men who come and they wear a suit in the day and then they magic into become consultants in the evening. Like, actually, you know, I've people who have disabilities can become consultants.
Well, look at our top target member. You know, she's an amazing lady who's in a wheelchair and does her group absolutely like any of us would. We've got men. I had a girl on my team who was a nurse. We've got people. I had a gorgeous lady on my team. She was 74. You know, we've got age is no barrier. Qualifications is no barrier. Like, working full time. You know, there's a guy who used to be on my team who's very high up, finance guy by day, Slimming World consultant by night. So yeah, if it's something you're interested in, there are always opportunities across the country, Cyprus and Northern Ireland. So yeah, you can find more details on the website or contact your consultant. But yeah, we don't sit at home filing our nails during the week.
I think what's also quite interesting, maybe this is a bit controversial to say.
Go on.
But if you're a member and you're not quite clicked with necessarily the consultant that you're with, that there is lots of different consultants that might kind of align with, like, more of who you are or what you look for. Like, you're pretty out there as a consultant, I think. Like, you're very outgoing, in your face.
And I'm not right for it. I will always say
that's
to my new
members, that's not derogatory, it's just how you are. Where some people might appreciate a bit of a quieter, softer approach.
But I always say that to my members when they join. If I am not your fit, it's okay. Let me help you find someone that is, because I've been around the block. I have had so many different consultants. And in a consultant, you've got to trust me. You've got to have a level of respect for me, but you've also got to allow me to help you. And if you don't feel that connection with me, we're not going to be able to get you to the place you want to be. So let's help you find someone that can.
I wonder whether, like, male consultants have more male members.
It is very interesting. I think they probably do, because a lot of men, you know, would find that instantly more comfortable. But also, I think, you know, it swings and roundabouts. I mean, it wouldn't bother me if I had a male consultant, a female consultant, but we have a lot of people that would prefer a man over a woman, or prefer, you know, someone from a different background or whatever, you know.
Or so, if you're a young mum, you'd rather have a consultant that's been a mum and been through what you're about to go through.
Or you might feel you want someone totally different. Do you know what I mean? But it's knowing that the great thing about Slimming World is you've got that little card that holds all your weigh data. You can go to any group. And as a consultant, if someone said, Anna, I like you, or I don't like you, or I like this group, or I don't like this group, I just want to make sure they got somewhere else and got some support. So, yeah, if you have got a gobby consultant like me and it's not your bag, let's find you someone that's maybe a bit more shy and retiring.
Well, it's probably also, like, if you are thinking about being a consultant, that
you don't have to be like me.
You turn up to be you.
Yes.
And that's it. And people will pick you, and they might say, actually, you're not for me, and to just kind of let that go. It's like difficult, isn't it? It's quite personable. They're picking you for their business, but it's also a business.
Yeah, but also, when you walk in the door, you haven't, unless you've been recommended, so, you know, mate Angela comes to you, you don't know anything about me. So that's why it's like a personal trainer. It's about all that. You've got to find your right fit, haven't you?
Oh, by the way, Simon also sends us a rather creepy message. Ooh. I'll be honest, Simon.
I'm scared.
I mean, what happened was, people, he emailed us with a link, of which he promised that this link that he'd shared was not going to send us to some horrible website full of men's tiddlers.
Tiddlers?
Tiddlers.
I thought that said men dressed as toddlers.
No, I mean, I actually realised I've typed it up wrong here.
Oh, okay. I was like, what?
And yeah. Oh, tiddlers. I haven't used, I heard that word before, tiddlers.
Does tiddlers mean what I think it means?
I mean, I think it means small ones.
Oh.
Anyway, right. Okay. He sent us this email, people, right? Which basically said, hi, Anna and Claire. Really love you a lot. I've done you a video message. Click on this link. Honestly, it's not going to send you down the road that it's a weird site. Honestly, and we laughed and it made our day.
It did. I made my husband watch it first.
Yes. Anyway, apparently Simon says his husband thinks that he's on the turn because Simon is always listening to us, which is hilarious. But Simon asked us a very important question. When are we doing an episode for men?
Well, when are we doing an episode for men?
For the producer, we have some planning going on behind the scenes, Simon, of how we're looking at doing this. It is a common question which we have been pondering over, thinking about how to do for quite a long time. And we know that there are a lot of listeners who are men. Hey, by the way.
Hi, boys.
If you would like to share, you are a guy and you have been listening to us for a while and you just want to tell us a few lines about who you are in your story, and also like what advice would you have to other men who may be joining Slimming World, then just drop us an email, slimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com. it'd be really helpful for us. We want to kind of gather as many different men's stories as possible. It's something we've tried to do before on the podcast, I've got to be honest, on our Instagram account, and we didn't get a lot of response. We had a lot of women telling us about men, but we wanted to hear from the guys themselves. You know, if you are father of the bride, if you are a guy who's coming up for a big birthday, if you're a guy who struggled with his weight all his 20s, now entering his 30s, wants to kind of change that relationship, father and son, we want to hear the stories about this, because it's not that we're forgetting about you. It's not the case at all. It's just something that we just haven't had a lot of guys that have wanted to talk to us. And we want to talk about you, with you, to you, for you. So get in contact. There's only one other question which is on this list, which is from Hayley, which I'm sure is actually a bit of a joke. There was no exclamation marks in this message.
I'm hoping it's a joke.
She quite simply says, why is leopard print so amazing? I mean, you talk about the fact that you like it, but you've never explained to us why leopard print is so amazing.
Because it's leopard print.
I mean, if you're new to the podcast, then basically it's by some weird chance, both of us turn out to have clearly a problem.
An obscene amount of leopard print.
Yeah.
Obscene.
Yeah. Like, yeah,
I mean I've only got
silly.
A scarf on today.
I'm free.
She's free.
I'm free. I don't have any leopard print on. Oh, thank God I'm out of it.
Yeah. I think, do you know what? There is no words to explain its power. It just is.
Leopard print. I mean, it doesn't look like you're out in your trackies at any point. It kind of dresses you up a little bit.
And for me, it just happened. It became a small thing that just got bigger and bigger.
And now now you can get leopards in all kinds of colours.
And I've got things from like leopard print, plant plots. I've got kids' clothes, dog bedding. I've even got pink and grey leopard print towels for my child's bathroom. Like,
your child has their own bathroom.
Well, yeah, because I don't, yeah, just the, yeah. I haven't got like a big house. We've got two bathrooms and one's hers and one's ours.
You sound like a housewife of Cheshire.
I'm really not a housewife of Cheshire. I've got a new build thrown up in a rough part of
It's fine, people. Bro. One dog wheezes in there and poos. Pukes. And the other dog eats the poo and then pukes it back. So, I mean, that takes the housewife of Cheshire right out there, doesn't it?
No housewife, I'd be sacked.
And there we go. Well, I mean, that doesn't really answer why leopard print is amazing. I don't know if it's a one sentence answer, to be honest.
It just is.
That's a rubbish. Okay. That is a rubbish answer.
It makes me happy.
It's a highly versatile pattern which can vavavoom, dress up and dress down an outfit in an instant the same time.
It just makes me smile. Like, when I see it, I feel warm feelings.
We need to melt with this. Answers on a postcard for next month's listeners' questions. Why do you think leopard print is so amazing? Please help us answer, Hayley. Anyway, we're going to round that up because she's yawning and she probably, I don't know.
I need a wee.
All right. We always end the episode needing a wee. I don't know what it is we bring out of each other.
It's the adrenaline. It must be.
It must be. And next week, we're doing an episode which is Back to Basics, Free Foods. We're doing three-parter of Back to Basics. This is the part one. So this is Free Foods. where we're basically going to have an empty biscuit tin filled with a handful of free foods written on pieces of card and 60 seconds on the clock. Yeah, we're going to do a quick fire fun-packed quiz to test our knowledge on the recipes we can muster up on the spot using simple basic store cupboard staples.
Look forward to seeing you there.
Anna is not going to win this one, people.
Oh my God, I so am!
Taking her down!
Have a great week. Enjoy your food.
Bye for now.